The backlog of security clearance applications that had been pending for more than a year was more than 133,000 cases deep in 2005, according to the Office of Personnel Management, which is now responsible for the background investigation portion of the security clearance process. The growth in the backlog was so worrisome that the Government Accountability Office put DOD's security clearance program on its list of high-risk areas of government that same year. Earlier this year, GAO took the issue off their list, making it the first DOD item ever to be removed. Beth McGrath, the Pentagon's Deputy Chief Management Officer, says they got there with a team-based approach that examined the security clearance process from top to bottom to figure out why things were taking so long.
It was the summer of 2007. We essentially locked everybody in a room for 3 months and didn't come out until we were done documenting the process. The federal investigative standards that were in place at the time had been in place since the times of J. Edgar Hoover in the Cold War. I'm not making that up. And we said, well, why is that? And the reason was, well, because it just was. Status quo is easy. You don't change unless you have to change. You don't know you have to change unless you ask the question. Well, nobody asked the question. Do these policies that were established very rightly in the Cold War era, do they apply today? And the short answer is, well, no.
McGrath speaking at a GovExec panel discussion in Virginia yesterday. She says that turned out to be a better approach than just throwing more money at the process, which she says doesn't tend to solve problems in a sustainable way in DOD. What did work, she says, were changes in technology and changes in business processes. One major process they're still exploring, she says, is deciding who should get a security clearance and asking, does everyone who has one now truly need one?
For what purpose? Is their job require them to have access to classified information each day? So we really are trying to right-size the number. I would say that's a tough one in DOD because we are so accustomed to at least a secret clearance. It's almost, you know, a bad mark if you don't have one because our culture drives us that way. But in the federal space, for example, in VA, very few of their personnel have clearances. They don't need them. They're in high public trust positions, so we want to do the proper vetting, but they don't need security clearance. But I do think that, you know, as we look for at the cost, yeah, of these, that certainly is an area that is ripe for more attention.
As of now, McGrath says with the clearance backlog out of the way, their average processing time for clearances is 47 days. That's down from 165 days in 2006, and only 9 of those days, on average, are taken up by the actual adjudication process. But she says they're still working on changes to bring the time and cost down, including more changes to the federal investigative standards to bring in more technology.
Trying to utilize technology to collect the information sort of once to make either a hiring decision or a determination for security clearance, because the two are conflated, by the way. We can't tell the difference sometimes between what's a hiring decision and what, you know, what's holding up my security clearance. So we're trying to move those decisions very much closer together because 90%+ of the information is the same.
She says the review team also developed a way for DOD to receive its cases electronically from OPM. As recently as 2 years ago, DOD was still getting those files on paper trucked in or FedExed, adding more time and more cost to the process. And all of DOD's clearance adjudication facilities are now using a single web-based software system.
How many were there? They each had their own, right? 4 or 5. And we said, well, we don't need 4 or 5. Adjudications are adjudications. We're really not making different decisions. Frankly, with the BRAC co-location of our central adjudication facilities, it made more sense, even more sense, to bring them onto a common technology solution.
That system also brought more automation to the adjudication process, keeping clearance decisions from having to be manually reviewed when it's not necessary.
Of the 600,000 secret cases that are done each year, so many of them really have no issues, yet we have people looking at every case. So instead of doing that, we say, well, how can technology help here? Any of the cases that come in, and there are about 25% of the clean case or the cases that come in, are marked no issues. And so instead of having somebody sort of open it and say, well, there's no issues on this one, let's send it on, We wrote business rules, and the computer can say, I read no issues on this one, and just send it.
McGrath and her office are using the same strategies they apply to the security clearance process to reform other areas of DOD's business practices. The general idea is to take functions that have traditionally been handled one by one in different functional areas of DOD, each with their own procedures and systems, and start viewing those in the context of what they're calling in their planning documents end-to-end business processes. There are 15 areas the department's planning to focus on, including end-to-end processes they're calling procure to pay and hire to retire. Dave Wintergren, the assistant deputy CMO, says the teams that will design those processes will come from different functional areas across DOD, and they'll end up fundamentally reshaping the way the Pentagon handles its back office operations.
This team approach is just so crucially important. It breaks the shackles of the current stovepipes that we have right now. We've got to think differently about this all. We've become so enamored with the system, and it becomes our baby and we love it. And then it's hard to have somebody explain to you that maybe your baby's ugly, right? Or your baby was really beautiful, but now it's time to send it off to college. And it's really important right now in this time of financial pressures. Because if you're not asking questions about, like, what does it cost? And why does it cost that much? And then the sort of corollary about, and why do I do it the way I've always done it? Is there some relevancy to the reason why we have the process that we have? Right? Is there some statutory requirement or something like that? And if not, have we just become enamored with the way it was rather than thinking about the way it should be?
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.